The Dolan White Podcast is powered by the Good Deeds app. Have you done a good deed lately? Download it today. Hey, it's Dolan White, and this is the Dolan White Podcast. Now, the number one question I get when I tell people that I'm vegetarian is, how do you get enough protein? There's a myth in this world that in order to get enough protein, you must eat animal products, but it's just that, a myth. My guests today are Robert Cheeks and Matt Frazier, authors of the new book, The Plant-Based Athlete. Now, Robert is the founder of Vegan Bodybuilding and is a two-time natural bodybuilding champion. Matt is the founder of the No Meat Athlete and a marathoner and ultra runner. Both Matt and Robert prove that meat is not essential in sports or even if you just want to get in better shape. So put down the turkey leg and turn this up. I don't know why the fuck I just said turkey leg like you're listening to this at the Renaissance Festival. Anyway, welcome to the Dolan White Podcast.
Polo Giddy. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolan White Podcast.
Episode 34 now of the Dolan White Podcast. My guest today, the authors of The Plant-Based Athlete, Robert Cheeks, Matt Frazier. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you, Dolan White. Appreciate it.
A little bit of background on me, first and foremost. I have been vegetarian. I'm not ready to go all the way vegan yet. I love pizza way too much, but I've been vegetarian for a year and some change now. My wife is vegan. So I feel like this is starting to catch on a little bit, plant-based dieting, right? It's starting to grow, right?
It is really catching on. In fact, our book, The Plant-Based Athlete, is in the top 100 bestsellers of all books on Amazon right now, which, I mean, you can see the excitement in my face. It's catching on. It's going mainstream.
Especially for fitness. Like, vegan's been around for a little while, but the vegan fitness movement is just booming in the past 5 years or so.
And we're definitely going to get to that here in a minute. You guys are kind of like vegan OGs at this point. Like, you guys have been doing this for a minute. So what was it that got into you guys that said, you know what, I'm done with meat, I'm done with animal products? What was it, the motivation for each one of you?
Yeah, you know, for me, you know, 1995. Can you believe that? It's been a quarter century now. I was 15 years old, so I'm in my 40s now.
Wow.
I was 15 years old growing up on a farm. And I had animals like cows and chickens and rabbits as pets, you know, with first names. And I, you know, just dawned on me that I didn't want to contribute to animal suffering anymore. I didn't want my friends to have to suffer. I certainly didn't want to sell them at the auction to be turned into someone's food. So I got into it for animal rights. But I was also a 5-sport athlete and I was only 120 pounds and I wanted to get bigger and stronger. I really did. I grew up as a kid in the 80s and 90s, wanted to be a pro wrestler. I eventually started lifting weights, got into the sport of bodybuilding and put on 100 pounds, you know, putting that protein question to rest completely. Yeah. Like, can you get enough protein? I went from 120 to 220. In fact, 223 with clothes on was the heaviest I was a couple months back. So, you know, that was my journey. And along the way, I learned about the benefits, the health and sports performance benefits of a plant-based diet. I was just doing it to not harm animals at first. But then I realized, man, I'm a champion bodybuilder. I figured this out and now I want to tell people about it. And so I got on a speaking tour. I started writing books about it. And then I collaborated with my man, Matt, on this new book. And it's been phenomenal.
And I had a similar experience. I was a marathon runner. This was 2009, trying to qualify for the Boston Marathon. And just kind of had plateaued in my progress. And then got, just like Robert, this personal ethical urge to become vegetarian. And so I wasn't at all doing it for performance. In fact, I was kind of worried what was going to happen to this quest of mine to qualify for Boston. And so I started easing my way into it and started my website kind of to like to document this experiment. And then I was shocked that 6 months later, I took 10 minutes off my marathon time, was able to put in harder and more workouts than ever before. And it just worked so well. So then I kept going, found people like Robert, found some true legends of the sport of ultra marathon running who were choosing a vegan diet for their performance. So I went all the way vegan, got into running 50 miles and ultra 100 mile ultra marathon. And like, it just worked so well. I didn't get injured. I recovered well. And now finally we're starting to see that's what athletes at the very top of the sports world are starting to notice and to talk about. So that's why we're here.
And you guys talk about that in the book. Was it Venus Williams, Tom Brady, a lot of other people. And you touched on it, Robert, when you were speaking, the protein question, because that's the question I always get when I tell people like, yo, I don't need meat anymore. And they're like, well, how are you going to get protein? I'm not a bodybuilder, an athlete or anything like that. But people do ask, how are you going to get protein? So it's not something I really worried about because I'm not really a bodybuilder, but how do you get protein on a plant-based diet?
Yeah, I just flex on them, you know.
You got it.
Really, though, like, the answer is really simple, to be honest. If you meet your calorie needs, your true calorie needs on a daily basis and eat any kind of variety of food, you're going to get your required protein intake throughout the day. That's just the way that amino acids work. It's just the way that macronutrients work. Because amino acids, the building blocks of protein, are in every food. And because we eat a variety of food, we don't just sit there and eat one thing all day. We eat a whole variety of food. And so you get different amino acids with every food that you consume. These building blocks of protein are just working and working and working. And you're consuming protein all throughout the day, whether you know it or not. You don't have to just eat a piece of meat or a protein drink to get protein. It's in everything. And it's in higher amounts in certain plant-based foods, like some of the obvious ones like tofu, tempeh, and seitan, but also in beans and lentils and in leafy green vegetables and certain root vegetables and in certain grains and pseudo grains. And of course, in things like nuts and nut butters. I mean, peanut butter is a very, very popular protein source for a lot of people, especially families who consume that. So protein is really so easy to get. And most people, even listening right now, probably consume more protein than they really need. And so just find your favorite protein sources that come from plants, incorporate those on a regular basis, combine it with some form of exercise so that protein goes to work, you know, repairing muscles. And then you start thriving. And it's an absolute great way to go.
One thing that my wife noticed when she made the switch to vegan, she cut out meat first like I did and was a vegetarian and then went vegan, where she was trying to have no animal product whatsoever, is that things that you might not think have animal products in them have animal products in them. How do you guys kind of avoid that? I know you have to read the labels and you have to know this and that, but it's harder than it sounds to really go all the way animal product free.
Yeah. You know, once you know what the things are, once you make the mistake once or twice, then you never do it again. That's kind of how it was for me. I remember in my early days of my blog, I was vegetarian and not vegan. And I was eating Parmesan cheese from Italy, like the real kind of Parmesan. Mm-hmm. And I was saying how it was this good food. And they were like, well, you know, that involves rennet or something, which is like an enzyme in the sheep's, inside their intestines or something, that they need to be killed to get it. So I was like, wow, I guess I can't be eating that on my vegetarian diet anymore.
Wow.
And it's in all kinds of things. It's just sort of everywhere, unfortunately. But yeah, eventually you put it on social media. People will tell you what you're doing wrong. That's a sure way to find out.
People love to tell you what you're doing wrong on social media.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably a good time to take a quick break and talk about our sponsor, the Good Deeds app from Michael Lohr. If you haven't downloaded the Good Deeds app yet, go ahead and download it today. It's great if you want to help people. It's also great if you need help yourself. We all need help sometimes. The Good Deeds app was created to simply connect people that want to help with people that need help. It's brought to you by Michael Orr, former NFL great, Super Bowl champion, and subject of the film The Blind Side. He has now dedicated his entire life to helping out the community in every way that he can. And one of the ways he's helping is by developing this app, the Good Deeds app, which, like I already told you, simply connects people that want to help with people that need help. It is all about connection. It is all about helping you help somebody else. Pay it forward with the Good Deeds app. There are tons of ways you can help out. There are tons of people on the Good Deeds app that need your help. It doesn't necessarily mean money. I know when we use the word help, a lot of people think money, but that's not all that this is. What it is an app that can help you give somebody a ride, help you move some furniture, help people however you can help them. That's what the Good Deeds app is all about. So download the Good Deeds app today. Have you done a good deed lately? I did also want to ask you this, and this is kind of from a personal place, is because when I'm at work all day, you know, obviously, you know, I have a mini fridge. So something I do drink for snacks is like a Muscle Milk. But I know that's derived from dairy. It's technically dairy free, but derived from dairy. I honestly have no idea what that means, what the difference is between being dairy free and derived from dairy. But are there good products, and can you recommend one of like a good snack, protein shake or whatever, that you can buy pre-made that is animal product free?
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. They're called RTDs. So ready to drink formula.
Yes.
Or just buy them out of the refrigerator. You get them at gyms and at health food stores or grocery stores even. And there are some plant-based ones. You look for brands like Vega or Only What You Need is a brand, O-W-Y-N, is one. Orgain, I believe, has one. So there are these plant-based protein brands that, by the way, some of them Dolowite are so popular. Like Vega became the best-selling nutritional supplement in the entire store of Target, you know, which carries whey and casein and all these other ready-to-drink products too. But some plant-based brands are really, really popular. So Orgain has one, Only What You Need has one, Vega has one. And those are, yeah, you just pull them right out. I mean, we've got them at home right now. Yeah. My wife drinks those during the day because she likes that. Like a protein drink that's quick, it's easily digested because it's in liquid form, it's easily assimilated, it goes right to work. And so those options are out there, and those weren't there 5 or 10 years ago.
No.
You know, this is the fastest growing sector of the food movement in sales is the plant-based movement. It's plant-based meat alternatives and dairy alternatives. And you just look at the numbers and you can see it. That's what the real data suggests, that those foods and beverages are going through the roof, and it's because of customer demand. And so that's what our book hopes to help share with people as well, because a lot of athletes are looking for those kind of things. Hey, quick protein drink, you know, give me a quick snack. Right. Give me something I can have on the road. Like some people train hours every day. They got to have something quick, accessible, easy. And to be able to go to Walgreens, CVS, you know, Kroger and pick it up. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's like, it's a whole new world now. And so we just think, so many people are embracing this lifestyle that the world is ready for a book like this.
How do you guys feel about the Beyond Meats, the Impossible Meats, things of that nature?
I mean, it's really cool that they exist. It certainly makes road trips easier. And I do a lot of like soccer driving for my kids. So like now, you know, late at night, it's great to be able to grab something. That's awesome. They're also a really good like gateway. Get to one who says, I'm never going to eat vegan, never going to eat vegetarian. Give them an Impossible Burger. And they may not notice the difference between that and a normal burger. It doesn't taste like a gourmet hamburger, but it tastes a lot like a Burger King hamburger does. So like it's pretty amazing that exists now. And so I think the real role of that is for someone who's thinking about this and doesn't think they can do it. They try that. They see someone in front of them at the store, order it. And then they say, wow, I'll just give it a try to see what happens. And then people start maybe doing that a couple times a week instead of what they were doing. And then they start to say, well, I'm going to try to make this at home, or I'm going to buy that for home. And I just think it can be the beginning of a habit change. Very few of the athletes in our book eat a whole lot of that stuff. There are some who actually do eat that. Nick Squires, strongest man in California in his weight class, he's eating Beyond Burger sometimes. But you know, by and large, the people in our book are eating whole plant foods. These top elite athletes are picking whole plants. So like that's eventually what you want to move towards if you're doing this for health reasons. But like I said, I think it's a really, really great transition tool, kind of gateway drug, if you will, to get yourself started with this.
One thing I love about your book is that you guys have like, so you tell stories about the athletes and their experiences. And then you also have like recommendations. So it's also like if you needed a quick recommendation, dietary recommendations, things of that nature in there as well, that are written kind of instruction manual in the sense of an instruction manual. So you get all of that in the book, which I really like.
That's why we wrote it, Dolowite. We wrote it to be a how-to book. This is how to be a plant-based athlete. And I did all those athlete interviews, and I have to tell you, that was the most fun for me. I mean, you can only get so excited about writing about grams of protein and fat and carbohydrate and fiber and macronutrients and nutrient density and calorie density. And don't get me wrong, I get excited about it, but I get much more excited when I hear someone's transformation story. Can you believe it? There's one guy in the book who weighed 420 pounds. And now he's won 100-mile ultra marathon races.
Wow.
This guy dropped 240 pounds. I mean, he was not only just out of shape. I mean, he could have been knocking on death's door. I mean, he was in really bad shape, morbidly obese. And you'd think, okay, maybe he got into powerlifting or something, you know? No. He got into ultra running, not just marathons, but 50-milers and 100-milers, and even won one of them. That's Josh Lajani. In fact, he was sharing about our book on Instagram today. He's one of the stories. There are so many of them. People who've overcome obesity, drug addiction, eating disorders, and then went on to become exceptional athletes fueled by plants. And the stories are unbelievable. And that's my favorite aspect of the book, because it's just so much inspiration. It makes me want to do better. Like, man, they've gone through all this stuff and they've achieved. I want to get more mileage out of my plant-based diet. I want to work a little bit harder in the gym. I want to make a little more extra effort on eating good quality foods, because these people inspire me and I want to do it.
What percentage would you put on diet when it comes to performance? Because I know a lot of people that go to the gym every day, but they eat horribly when they leave the gym, which is kind of like, all right, you're kind of just undoing everything that you just did in the gym. You have to have both to get as fit as you want to fit, or to look the way you want to look, or just to achieve the health that you want to achieve. Both have to be present. And I think the diet gets ignored sometimes because people will go in and they'll spend 2 hours in the gym and then, you know, they'll hit a drive-through on the way home, which...
I mean, I think at these highest levels of performance, like the athletes in the book, then it's hard to say then. I mean, the diet's going to give them a little edge, but there's this foundation of skill and training that must be there. But for the people you're talking about, the recreational athlete, the person who just wants to go to the gym and look good, feel good, which is actually who we wrote the plant-based athlete for. We have all these athlete stories so we can see what the best are doing, but we want to learn from them, and then we distill it down into these points. Like you mentioned, all this science and actual practical tips. It's, you can spend, like you said, 2 hours in the gym trying to burn, who knows, sometimes it might only be, I don't know, 800,000 calories that you burn, and then you just eat a fast food diet meal and you put it right back in. So like if you're out to lose weight or just to get fit, I usually suggest to people that they change their diet first. And like, maybe don't even worry about the fitness part at first, because you're going to move the needle the most as far as the calories you're consuming, with diet. You can make massive dramatic changes with diet. And you know, if you're trying to work out at the same time, if you're new to working out and you hate going to the gym, you just don't need that kind of tax on your willpower when you're also trying to you know, exercise that willpower and make healthy food choices. So I tell people, like, do the diet first, because that's going to have the biggest impact. Once you're kind of comfortable with that and it's not a big effort for you to eat healthily, then start adding in the fitness component. And even that, you know, kind of gradually ease into it. You don't need to just overnight become a gym rat. You know, take your time, move into it, but start with diet.
My last question before I let you guys out of here, and I ask this, I think this is my third or fourth episode that I've done on plant-based eating. Do you feel like humans in their natural state were meant to consume meat?
You know, I don't really get too hung up on natural state. I think we have this story of the hunter-gatherer in our ancestors. Really, it was much, much more likely gatherer-hunter. People gathered because that was easy and convenient. There was hunting in those days, and it was a more rare thing. If you look at like the blue zones, the longest lived pockets of the world where they produce the most number of people who live to be 100 years old, they eat in kind of that way. They eat largely plant-based diets, and they have every now and then a big, you know, twice a month, they'll have a huge pork feast and they'll celebrate with meat, or they'll use it as kind of a condiment in certain times because it was rare and scarce compared to berries and fruits and things that we could just pick off of a tree. So, you know, if there's a natural way to eat, then that's it. But I don't get too hung up on natural. To me, I look at the empirical evidence. And to me, like, if a plant-based diet along with a B12 supplement, because people like to point out that too, they're like, well, how can this be natural if you have to take a B12 supplement with it? We could get into that, of course. But like, the short answer for me is, like, I look at the studies, and if a B12 supplement and a whole plant-based diet, if that makes people live longer and have more healthy, happy years than any other diet, natural or not, whatever you want to call it, you know, I'll take the one that helps me live that long. I don't care about whether or not it's quote unquote natural. If the science is showing that's how you live longest, then that works for me.
Yeah. And you look at our teeth, you look at our digestive system, you look at our, you know, what was safe, you know, back then to acquire as far as calories, you know, it was predominantly plants, I think. And so, now fast forward to today, and we're going back to our roots and getting back to a plant-based diet. So, thanks for having us on, Dillo. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with your audience today.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys coming on. The book is The Plant-Based Athlete. Even if you're not plant-based right now, definitely check it out. Because it's easier than I thought it was. I made it up in my head to be this extremely hard thing, but it's easier than I thought it was. And, you know, I'm a year and a half into it, into vegetarianism, and loving every minute of it. I have no worries. I'm not going back. So cool. Maybe next time we talk, I'll be completely vegan. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks, Dillo White. Appreciate Bye-bye. It.
This episode of the Dillo White Podcast is brought to you by the Good Deeds app. Now, sometimes when we make donations, we really don't know where that money is going, but that is not the case with the Good Deeds app. The Good Deeds app directly connects people that want to help with people that need help. Now, I know a lot of times when we think of the word help, we think of money, but that's not always the case. There may be an elderly person in your neighborhood that needs help moving some furniture, or a college kid that needs a ride to work. You literally never know how much your good deeds can really make a difference in someone's life. So download the Good Deeds app and start making those differences today. Have you done a good deed lately? All right. I want to say thank you once again to my guests, Robert Cheek and Matt Frazier. You can follow them on Instagram. Roberts is at robert.cheek. That's Cheek, C-H-E-E-K-E. And you can follow Matt Frazier at nomeatathlete_. official. And while you got the app open, may as well follow me as well at DolaWhite101, D-O-L-E-W-I-T-E 101. Remember, I'm down to one episode a week for the next couple weeks while my wife is out of town, because having a full-time job, having a podcast, and being a full-time dad, that shit's a little bit tough. So one episode a week. The next episode is great, too. It's on racism and the education of racism. My guest is U.S. Navy veteran and author of the book When the Stars Begin to Fall, Theodore R. Johnson. Super dope episode next week. Thank you for following the podcast. Make sure you follow, subscribe, all of those things. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, as I say all the time, give me those 5 stars. Write me a review. All of those good things. Only say good things. I definitely appreciate that love, man. Back next Wednesday, brand new episode. Thank you for checking out the podcast. I'm gone.